Whatever I don't cover, Hank gets to cover next week. And through what you've said, Hank, I've had to like totally change my lesson. I'm not sure what I'm doing now, but that's okay. I mean, that's good. Praise God. You know, God is awesome. Anyway, I wanted to actually start that. I want to teach a little bit on building your faith to be healed. Okay? And I wanted to give some examples. The Lord has healed me so many times from so many different things. And, you know, it's amazing. I've had too many physical surgeries by the doctor. I've had lots of them, but a lot more healings from Dr. Jesus. And I'll tell you, he is the great physician. He truly is. And nothing is impossible with God. I don't care what they're telling you. Jesus can do it. He's more than enough for any problem you have. But I did want to, I'm going to start with some examples of healings and how the Lord actually taught me that he was my healer. I didn't know Jesus healed today. I was Christian for years and years and years. Never knew that Jesus healed today, you know. And actually, the first healing I got from the Lord, and it was so strange because I, you know, baby Christian, I don't know to ask God to heal me. And at the time, my children were quite young, and I got a babysitter so I could go out once a week to this Catholic charismatic prayer group that I belonged to. And anyway, Father Michael, I think it was dedicating this apartment this house for one of the girls in the group. And he's got this holy water, and he's sprinkling it on the walls. And, you know, I thought, what's holy water, you know? And I should mention, holy water, you want holy anointing oil, you lay hands on it in the name of Jesus and loose the power of God into that oil. And it doesn't have to be. I used to always think it had to be olive oil until one day I was doing a deliverance and this lady was helping me. And I said, go get me some oil from the kitchen, because there were spirits of the occult involved. Anyway, it was a bit of a battle. And she ran down to the kitchen in the church and came up with a bottle of French dressing. And I looked at her like, you have lost it, lady. And she says, Pastor Kathy, it's the only thing with oil in the entire church. I mean, we had no oil, but in this, so I took, and I, but in the meantime, I'm talking about go get God's anointing oil. And you know what I mean? And the spirits are like, this poor lady was just, whoa, you know. But anyway, so I had to pray over this French dressing. And I put it on my hand and slapped that red stuff on her forehead. And the spirit screamed and came out. And it was so funny. But anyway, praise God. Sprinkling water. Father Dave was sprinkling holy water. I thought, man, this is really weird. But I was sitting there on the couch, and I was in such pain. I used to have a lot of pain in my lower spine. And just thinking, oh, I wish this meeting was over so I could shift position or something. And one sprinkle of water hit my forehead, and instantly the pain was gone. And I'm, you know, like, whoa, what is going on here? And you know, I had no idea. I thought, I was afraid to even tell anyone. I did tell my sister-in-law later, you know, but not right at the time. But you know, God is so good. He's so good. But I was going to say so stupid, but you know, I could use better terminology. I really was not too swift. As a Christian, I had no teaching. And even the born-again, spirit-filled Christians around me, I would speak to them and say, well, you know, what about this or what about that? And they'd say, well, that's not what Jesus meant. I thought, Jesus was not an idiot, and he said what he meant. And you know, if he was giving you a parable, it says in Scripture, now this is a parable. Okay, but if it doesn't say it's a parable, this is the way it is, Jesus is saying, right? But anyway, so I stopped asking them and just began just listening to the Holy Spirit, which I didn't even know he spoke to you at this time. Anyway, really, when I go back through my childhood and stuff, I've had Crohn's all my life. The devil came out against me, you know, before I was born. I was born a month early. And, you know, like, and I was very sick as an infant, shouldn't have lived, so many different things. It's crazy, you know. He's just been after me. He knew I was going to put up with Hank, but that's not true. He knew I was going to pray you into the kingdom, and you would do so much damage to his kingdom. And praise God, you know, and I would do a little bit too. But anyway, so I'm still a baby Christian. I'm such a baby. Kim and Chris were in junior kindergarten and kindergarten. And so I did my work in the barns, and I had a shower, and I dropped the kids off at school, and Ted was already there because he caught the bus at 8. Anyway, and I'm driving to the doctor's. I'm in agony. I am just in so much pain. I thought, oh, I must have the flu again, you know. And the doctors always said, oh, yeah, you've got the flu. Here, take these antibiotics. And a day or two later, I would start feeling better. But it wasn't the antibiotics. It was I never had the flu. You know, anyway, it was not good. I'm on the way to the doctors. I'm going to get something and help with this pain. And the Lord spoke to me, and it was so loud that it was just about audible. And he said, is it because there is no God in Israel that you seek healing? And I'm thinking, you know, I thought, whoa, I know that scripture, Lord, and that king died, you know, like, because he's. And so I turned around and I went home, and I forget if the Lord healed me at that time or not. But anyway, I thought, should I die from this? I'm not going to cross God. You know, at least I knew. And I was beginning to understand when the Lord was speaking to me. And he spoke to me many times, I'm sure, before that I didn't know it was him. Benny Hinn, when he was small potatoes, he was nobody. Anyway, I had been praying for healing, and I mean hours of prayer every day for like 2-3 weeks, ever since I knew I was going to that service, for my sister-in-law, Sandy, for her eyes. And please, Lord, heal her. When we go to that Benny Hinn service, heal her, you know. And anyway, so we're going to, it was at a church in St. Catherine's Pentecostal Church, maybe 500 people there, maybe not even that many, you know, like small potatoes, Benny Hinn before. But anyway, so we're going up the steps of the church, and here I've spent all this time in intercession and just praying for her. And she says, you know, Kath, the Lord's not going to heal my eyes today. I could have hit her. You know, like, I thought, you have no idea what I've been going through. And so anyway, we went into the service, and there was this crippled man there. And it was funny because he ended up being a member at a church that I went to not long after this. But anyway, I said, Lord, can you transfer all that intercession to this man and heal him? He's your servant, you know. Anyway, all my life I'd had poor circulation, like my skin would literally, it would be like purple. Mm-hmm. Purple. Like my grandmother died because they could not do a blood transfusion or anything. Her blood was too thick, and she had these kind of problems too. Anyway, it was very painful. But anyway, I'm sitting in this Benny Hinn, and you know, he can preach for a long time, right? You know, on and on and on. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm just in agony. I want to go home. Of course, you don't want to get up and leave in front of all the people, right? Or, you know, tick God off. Not good either. Anyway, I'm sitting in service, and finally he finishes preaching, and as I'm sitting there, I mean, you can just about visibly see my ankles and legs swelling, you know, like it was just, oh, awful. Anyway, I'm sitting there and he starts calling out this healing. Well, stupid me, I didn't know it was me. But this thing was happening and it was like hot molten lead down through my forehead, down. And when it got here on my arm, it was like that right straight across. And it took healing with it all the way. And my feet were burning and burning. It was so strange, and I didn't understand really what was going on. And I'm thinking, whoa, this is really weird. Am I going to be okay? Hey, the pain's gone. And it took me about 15 minutes to realize I was the one the Lord was healing. And many, many years later, I said to the Lord, I said, how come you anointed Hank for ministry and you never bothered anointing me? He said, I did. And he took me to this Benny Hinn meeting. That's what he was anointing me for ministry. He'd already called me into the ministry, you see. Hank had not returned to the Lord yet. But, you know, anyway, praise God. And so he heals you even when you don't know to ask sometimes. But much better if you ask. Now, when I was going to Bible school, I had a problem with my right leg. It was painful. And I was determined I was going to receive healing from the Lord because Jesus heals. And I'm going to Bible school, and he ought to be happy with me because I'm trying to learn his word, right? And you can't earn healing. And anyway, it's a free gift, right? There's nothing you can do to earn it. And anyway, but my leg was just killing me. And every time I would pray, every day he would say, be specific. You know, finally I got to the point, I'm just about dragging my leg. And you know, it was awful. And I thought, well, this is ridiculous. And I said, fine. Well, I can get an attitude occasionally. It's not good to get snotty with God, you know. But anyway, I said, fine, that's it. I am going to the doctors, and whatever he says, I'm going to do. And I'll show you, right? Anyway, I went to the doctors. They did tests and stuff. I had a growth leaning on my spine and the nerves and stuff, and which affected the leg. You see, there was nothing wrong with the leg. I needed to be specific. I think I repented. I think I was smart enough to do that. and you know, but as soon as I prayed about it, the Lord healed that. And the growth was gone. No more pain in the leg, you know. And I thought, yeah, be specific. And I know the Lord does not deal with a lot of people that way, but he does with me. That's why I'll say, okay, go to the doctor, find out what's wrong so we can pray correctly, because if I will be specific, God will heal it, you know? Like, anyway, so awesome, so awesome. You know, we moved to Cambridge in 85, and my family, I was born in Niagara-on-the-Lake. My family's still that area, Niagara Falls, Fort Erie, Niagara-on-the-Lake, St. Catharines. Anyway, I would go down to visit my dad and my family, and I'd always stay at my sister's place because she had a bedroom, and it was my bedroom. It was a spare room, right? So anyway, and I was staying over this one time, years and years ago, and I had already spoken to the Lord. I'd prayed. I was going to sleep, and I felt this presence manifest in the room. Well, I knew there was a demon spirit there, so I kind of... And he was this big, ugly, caped kind of thing. Ugly, really ugly. Anyway, I told him, get out in Jesus' name. Don't come back. Leave this house, this property. Don't come back in the name of Jesus. And he left. So, I don't know, 7, 8 years later. And I used to go down when Dad was alive, I would go every month. And then after my dad went home to be with the Lord, then every other month I would go down. But so I had been there many times and slept in that bed many times. But after 7, 8 years, I'm going to sleep, and I just said my prayers. I said, and that spirit came to mind. And I said, Lord, what was that spirit anyway? He said, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet you. Why hadn't I asked him in the first place? Would have saved myself a lot of trouble, a lot of pain. And that word buffet means to continue to beat and just keep it blow after blow after blow, you know. And seriously, I've had so many different things wrong with me. It's not normal. It's not natural. It's, you know, when he says buffet, man, I'm telling you. But anyway, but God is far greater than him. But, you know, like things, I know I've been diagnosed with cancer like 6 times. Is this fair? Excuse me, you know, like, but God has healed me each time. He's gotten me out of it every time. And you know, he's more than enough. He really is more than enough. And I remember years ago, osteoporosis, arthritis. Oh, my goodness, I had it in my spine and stuff. And the Lord healed me from the arthritis. And what really ticks me off is the devil's attacking me with arthritis again now. You know, I mean, it's been 30 years. Will you back off and leave me alone? But anyway, it's getting pretty good, actually. Look, I can touch it. And it moves. But anyway, it's going to go in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Anyway, we moved to Cambridge in 85. And I was in the midst of another cancer scare and all that happy stuff. I had a growth on my uterus. It was quite a large one. It had been, you know, like 3 different specialists had said, yeah, you got to have this out, and you know. But anyway, I had an abnormal pap smear and all that stuff. And you got to understand, in my family, my sister and I, of everyone in my generation and my mother's generation, were the only 2 left who had not had cancer of the uterus and had a hysterectomy. Anyway, so we had moved that summer to Cambridge, but I still had appointments with the specialists in St. Catharines and stuff because they had to operate on this. And Hank's mom, she was dying of cancer at that time. And mom passed away and went home to be with the Lord. And I'll never forget her funeral because I was so in pain all the time with this growth and everything. And it was horrible. And I was at mom's funeral in the family room, just sitting there, and I'm doubled over, and I'm praying, Lord. And something changed. And I had a doctor's appointment that afternoon. Like 2 hours after the funeral, I had to be at the doctor's at St. Catharines, you know, like it was just like, ugh. Anyway, I'm good, Hank. So, something was wrong. Like, what is something? What is it? And I realized, hey, the pain is gone. Lord, you have healed me. And, you know, so I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm, you know. Anyway, I go to the doctor's that afternoon, and he's all over the place like, gee, you know, it wasn't just me that saw that said that was there, and, you know. And I said, Doctor, I know your diagnosis was correct. I said, Jesus healed me. Of course, he looked at me like, you know, not case. But anyway, the growth was gone. On the results of the ultrasound and stuff, there was no growth. It had been gone, did not show up on the ultrasound that had been taken 3 weeks earlier. And yet I was in pain for another 3 weeks. So, I mean, just because you still have the symptoms doesn't mean that you still have the disease. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, like once you've prayed and start thanking the Lord for that healing, just keep thanking him for it. And it's not wrong to go and get in the healing line again. You know, they say, oh, we're going to pray for the sick. Well, if you still have symptoms, get up there and get some prayer, you know. But anyway, so I didn't need surgery for that. But those gynecologists put me in touch with this other guy in Cambridge that I would have a specialist here because I still had problems. And anyway, I went to the guy here in Cambridge after a year or so, and he said, you know, and I knew I needed surgery. Not like I didn't know I needed surgery. I wasn't quite sure what the problem was, but I couldn't stand up straight. I could barely walk, you know. But anyway, problem was I had an enlarged, hardened uterus, and I had fibroids, you know, those painful little growths all over it. And, you know, I was really in rough shape, really, really in rough shape. Anyway, this guy says, I'll book you for hysterectomy right here. He says, it'll be about 3 weeks. He says, I can get you in here. And I said, doctor, I know your diagnosis is, have not had a chance to pray to the Lord yet. I need 3 weeks to pray to God. If it's not healed after 3 weeks, I will come back. You can do the surgery. But I need to speak to the Lord first. And this guy was not a nice man. And anyway, he says to me, you'll be back in less than 3 weeks, begging me for that surgery. Well, he knew the pain I was in, and it was not nice. It was no picnic. But I thought, you know, I have to seek the Lord first. Then if they want to operate, fine, go for it. You know, but he was such a snot. And he was I shouldn't have said that, right? But he wasn't really very nice. And he had done a pap tests and stuff, and he had cut pieces out from the inside of the uterus, and I was bleeding all over the place. And I thought, you know, it's not necessary to be that rough. But anyway, he was looking for cancer. Well, God had healed me, okay? So, like, it's not there. But anyway, I got an attitude. This guy really ticked me off. You don't talk about my God like that. And you don't have that, you know, anyway. Yes. So I got an attitude, and I didn't go back after 3 weeks. I was still in pain. Took me 6 months to be healed. I mean, am I stubborn? Can I get an attitude? Don't push me. Okay?
Yeah.
You'll find out. Look at this. Anyway. Now, mind you, it took me 6 months to be totally healed. I still have my uterus today. No problems. No, you know, like, hey, God, when he heals you, he heals you. All right? And, you know, he's so awesome. He's just so wonderful. And it shouldn't have taken me 6 months to be healed, but I didn't seek the Lord every day about healing me for that. Perhaps I should have, and I would have been healed quicker, you know. But anyway, I was busy. I was raising 3 kids. We had the Bible school going. I mean, it was just nuts. Oh, I was putting in 80 hours a week and thinking, who has time to pray for yourself? Not there. Anyway, you know, it was just... Okay, I want to read here in James 5:14-16. Now, I've had 5 or 6 blockages in my colon and intestines that I was supposed to have surgery for. Well, I had surgery by the doctor twice. First time, I just about died. Actually, I was to the point where I couldn't sit up by the time they booked the surgery. When I went to the doctors, he went and spoke to his friend, the surgeon down the hall, and they threw me in the hospital and cut me open. I mean, it was bad. And, you know, and then last time actually was last November, and it was a small growth, but large enough to totally block my colon and stuff. And I was having a colonoscopy, which isn't fun either. But anyway... he took it out all at the same time, and there was, you know, recovery wasn't bad that time, but the first time it was really bad. It was extremely bad. I was cut from the navel right down, and I had a hole on the right side. It was like 3x4x4, and it took 6 months to close up, you know. They close up from the bottom and from the sides, but anyway, it was no picnic. But I did manage to live through it, and it was, anyway, never mind about that one. It was rough. It was really rough. So I've had 5 or 6 really bad bowel blockages over the years. And ever since I was a kid, you know, like even a small child, I would be in a great deal of pain. And the doctors, it was always, oh, you have the flu. Well, they never said you have Crohn's. I wasn't diagnosed with Crohn's until they took a couple of feet out with the out of my, you know, bowels and stuff with that first surgery. And they said, oh, you have Crohn's. Well, thank you very much, sir. You know, I've been coming to you how many years? And I didn't say that, but I did think it. But anyway, you know. And after the surgery, you know, I said, you didn't stitch me up. Well, the one you couldn't, but the other incisions you could have, I thought, stitched me up. And he says, oh, you're going to have a lot of infection. And, you know. Well, my church was praying for me. I never had a speck of infection at all. And, you know, God is so good. He's just so good, you know. And so I had 2 surgically by the doctors, but the other 3, 4, maybe 5 times, the Lord healed me. Much better, much better to have Jesus heal you. I remember one time I had a bowel blockage and I was whining to the Lord about it. And you know, and I said, Lord, you know, you promised me long life. You would satisfy me with long life. I wasn't even 50 yet. I said, listen, Lord, I don't even have any grandchildren. None on the horizon, you know, like, hello. And, you know, well, in short order, I had 3. All the kids decided, oh, well, let's have children together. And I can remember, I've got a picture. And the 3 babies sitting on me, and I was still in so much pain with the Crohn's because of other things. But anyway, you know, so anyway, James 5 here, 14 to 16. I was supposed to be going to the doctors on the Monday, and he had booked the surgery, so he would give me the surgery date on Monday. This is on Saturday, and I'm talking to the Lord, and well, I guess you're not healing me this time, Lord. And I said, well, I know that you'll be with me in the operating room, that you'll guide the surgeon's hands, and you know. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, call for the elders of your church. I said, Lord, you're going to heal me, aren't you? And it's here in James 5. And this is very powerful. If you need healing and things from the Lord, this is so powerful, this scripture. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Loose the healing power in the oil first. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. It'll sozo the sick, okay? Heal, set free, right? Save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means, you know, if you're going to pray, really get into it. Be serious with God. Stop chewing gum and blowing bubbles and say, yeah, okay, and heal such and such. And no. He wants you to be emotionally, seriously speaking to him. It's the effective, fervent prayer. That means you put yourself into it, okay? There has to be emotion in there. Before we're finished, we're going to go to Isaiah 58. I think it's in the Old Testament. Not right this second, but we'll be going there. And most of this other stuff Hank will have, he will teach, because I simply don't have the time. Mark 11, 22 to 26. Have faith in God. In God. You know, people would say to me, oh, you know, it's so easy for you, Pastor Kathy. You have such great faith. You can be healed. Great faith, nothing. You know. You can't earn your healing. And I do have faith. I have faith that God is real, that he's not a man that he should lie. I have faith that God's word is truth. If you can find that promise in God's word stands forever. Do you know what your body is saying? That can be changed. What the doctor says is wrong with you, that can be changed. But what God says, God's word stands forever. You get yourself, the healing scriptures. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And I put them on CD for you guys. You have no excuse. Anyway, I'm just going to read at the top here. These healing scriptures have been prepared for those who are serious about seeking the Lord as their healer. You're to read each scripture aloud 5 times and then speak out your confession of faith about that scripture once. So I'll do the first one. It's just the end of the scripture, actually, Exodus 15, 26. For I am the Lord who heals you. For I am the Lord who heals you. That's how you do it. You just speak it out. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's the hearing of the word of God that gets into your spiritual heart, okay, into your subconscious mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. You got to get it into your heart. Okay, for I am the Lord who heals you. For I am the Lord who heals you. For I am the Lord who heals you. And then my confession would be, thank you, Lord, that you are my healer, that you heal me. And then you go on to the next one. Read it out loud 5 times. And you guys have it in my wonderful voice. And I left a space at the end of each scripture after reading it 5 times for you to put your confession, for you to say, thank you, Lord, that you are the God who heals me. And, you know, so many times in the Gospels, it comes out where Jesus said, you know, your faith has made you well. The lady with the issue of blood, a leper the one time, you know, a blind man. But as I was saying, you know, people accuse me of having great faith. Well, I have great faith in God. I have great faith that the Bible is the word of God. It is truth. It is truth. It'll change not. It does not change. But, you know, that's what I've gone on all these years. The Lord. And as you are speaking out the word of God, as you're believing God's word, that is your faith growing. You're using your faith. You're using your faith and to build that faith. As Hank said earlier, actually, Hebrews 1:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please the Lord. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Is God real? Hey, yeah. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You start seeking the Lord every day, you'll start seeing tremendous results. Wonderful, tremendous results. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful. God's word is so strong. It's so strong. It's so wonderful. And, you know, you put it to work in your heart. You're going to see great results, awesome results. And you know, really, we need to receive what Jesus has died for. He died for us to be saved. He died for us to be healed. He died for us to be set free. Mm-hmm. It's all there, you know. Pastor Hank will be teaching on the parable of the sower because it's so long. But you do need to meditate the Word of God, and that's how you do it, is the way I did with that first scripture on the, okay, the healing scripture sheet there. Now, Proverbs 4, 20 to 23, there it says about the Word of God, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So again, the Word of God is health to all your flesh. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And of course, the thief is the devil, right? And Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. It's the more abundant life. That's not sickness and disease. Where is the sickness and disease coming from? From the devil. He's the one who put you on it. It's not God. And you know, God does not make his children sick. He doesn't. Now, mind you, now, in Luke 5, it talks about the leper. And actually, I'm going to read it. And here, this is a leper, okay? And he comes to Jesus. He implored Jesus, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched this filthy, oozing leper, and he said, I am willing. You know, it is always God's will to heal you. Always his will to heal you. He is not against healing you. Okay? And I know people will say, oh, you know, if it be thy will, Lord. You know what God's will is by looking at what Jesus did in the Gospels in a similar situation.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, and did Jesus ever make anyone sick?
No.
Except Saul. He struck him blind just to get his attention. But 3 days later, he healed him, right? But that was the only time. He raised the dead. He healed the sick, right? And he healed all who came to him. And, you know, so if we go to Christ, he will heal us. Isaiah 53, now that entire chapter is on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's such a great chapter. Just verse 5, though. But he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace, that's our peace of mind, was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Present tense. Under the new covenant, you know, you're reading 1 Peter 2:24, you have been healed. It's a past tense thing. Jesus has already paid for your healing. And those stripes, you know, we are healed. By his stripes, by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. And literally, stripes means blows that cut in. You know, like being whipped and the cut and the blood. Oh, he suffered for us. He paid for our sickness and disease to be healed. He paid for our salvation. So many Christians receive the salvation from the sacrifice of Christ, but he died for you to be healed too. Same sacrifice. It's there in God's word. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. Psalm 103, there God tells us that he heals all our diseases, not some of them, all of them. And I just have two more scriptures. Aren't you so happy I'll be finished by like noon? Okay. We're going to back up and do this one that I didn't have down. Isaiah 58. And we're going to start at verse 6. If you're going to fast this week, make it worthwhile. This is God's chosen fast. Okay? His chosen fast. And God doesn't really care if you go without food all day, all night, and just drink water. Or if you go just with liquids, soup and tea and coffee. Or if you go on a Hebrew fast, which is kind of, you sort of just drink something at breakfast and lunch, and then but then you eat a full meal at dinner time. That's a Hebrew fast. I mean, he just wants you to spend time with him more than anything, okay? So, I mean, you fast whatever way you want to fast. God's chosen fast. God's chosen fast. And one warning, if you fast without eating, okay, it does put you in touch. You hear from the spirit dimension a lot clearer. Both sides. The good spiritual dimension, the evil spiritual dimension. So test all things. Line it up with the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with what you think Jesus would do in that situation, get rid of that scripture. The first thing the devil will use on a Christian is the Word of God, because when a scripture comes to mind, you automatically think, oh, that's from the Lord. Not so. Okay, 58:6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? And there's eight things here that it will do. It will loose the bonds of wickedness, okay? Undo the heavy burdens. Let the oppressed go free. You know, sickness is oppression, right? Mm-hmm. That you break every yoke. Notice you're the one who's breaking the yoke, not the Lord. Mm-hmm. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, okay? And the hungry there. God cares about that. He cares about that. But anyway, if you will do that, I remember one time I went on a fast and I was in desperate physical condition at the time. And I went out and I couldn't really afford it, but I bought some steak and I bought some really nice stuff for this person that I knew that wouldn't be able to buy that kind of stuff. And I would have loved to have eaten it myself. But anyway, I got all this awesome groceries together and took them over to her. And I went on a fast. And God healed me. Anyway, do it God's way, okay? Okay, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. That's like your family. If they have needs, you know, their family, you need to help them too. Verse 8, if you will do these things, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Okay? Your righteousness shall go before you. I like the next part. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. You don't have to worry about being attacked from behind. Ha ha. He's so good. Then, if you do those things, those first eight things, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. Right away. Okay, you call, he answers. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Here I am. What do you need? But then he gives you four more conditions, okay? If you take away the yoke from your midst, the bondage, that you would have anyone in bondage, the pointing of finger and speaking wickedness, you know, gossip, judging others. And, you know, I mean, who are we to judge our brother and sister? We are to judge that, like, should I be doing that or not doing that, but we aren't to sit in judgment over people, okay? There's a big difference. And then if you extend your soul to the hungry, again, take care of those in need, those that are around you in need. I mean, and if you don't have anyone around you in need, there's the food bank downtown, you know, like, and but more results. Woohoo, woohoo. Well, I'll finish the, and satisfy the afflicted soul, so that you're there to help people, to listen to their problems, to discuss it with them. The results. Number one, then your light shall dawn in the darkness. In the darkness. And your darkness shall be as noonday, I mean lunchtime. Woohoo! The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. And strengthen your bones. I need that one. Strengthen your bones. Well, and muscles, Lord, muscles. You shall be like a watered garden. Anyway, there's more to it. But, you know, even if you just do 6 to 11, wow. Wow. The results you'll get. Do it God's way. Do that fast. His way. And he will bless the socks off you. And praise God, last scripture, 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And I know you people, I know your heart's loyal to the Lord. He's just waiting for you to come to him, to seek him. Are you bold enough to take him at his word? Go for it this week. Reach out and be healed. Hank, I'll... as you're coming up, I'll read a scripture that the Lord had... He's given me this different times when I've had really bad reports from the doctor. Isaiah 43. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. And then he says, put me in remembrance. God says, tell me why I should heal you. Tell me why I should answer that prayer. To talk it over with you. Do you know what he has promised you? And then he says, let us contend together. Let's discuss this. Come on. Tell me why I should heal you. And, you know, state your case that you may be acquitted. If you can find the promise in God's word, it belongs to you. And remember, he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. It doesn't matter. You're in the deepest, darkest dungeon in the world. God's with you. Didn't get to my lesson, but praise God. Whoops, should I turn this off? I'm sorry, honey.
Turn me off.
Glad he didn't have that power when he was younger. In this meditation, this is very important. As I said many times, you have to do this with our heart. You know where you're at in your heart with faith for healing. What I'm saying is that you can get, if you believe in your heart and do not doubt,